way he said it to me, and you've heard me say this before a couple of years ago, was, I want you to tend to the altar that creates a portal that takes you through the gate to come into my throne to release my declarations and decrees into the earth. That's what we're called to be. That's what we're called to do. So I felt like when we found out we were landing here and the invitation was extended, that the Lord was saying, I'm inviting you to come here and open the portal wider in this place for this people. And then when your assignment is done, I will move you to the next place. You see, when Obed-Edom all of a sudden ended up with the Ark of the Covenant in his house, I mean, back up with me. I wrote this in an article I sent out in the KTIM newsletter last night, but think about this for a minute. Obed-Edom had to have seen this thing going on. They're trying to move the Ark on a cart. Uzzah reaches out and touches the glory and is struck dead because of his irreverence, his familiarity, if you will. And King David says, how do I dare move this ark from here? Obed-Edom, we're going to park the ark in your house. Now, Dutch Seats, I heard him say it this way. Now, kids, don't go touch. Don't go touch that ark. Be careful. I mean, I had little boys, they'd be climbing on it. I mean, it wouldn't just be touching it. They would be climbing on that bad boy. But for 3 months, Obed-Edom lived with the presence and the glory of God. He lived with the Shekinah glory that was resident between the cherubim on top of the ark. You feel that? It changed his life. It had to. See, when you live and you dwell in the place of the Shekinah glory of God, you can't help but be changed. When you touch the glory of God, when you get into an atmosphere where the presence and the glory of God envelops you, get used to a cord. It completely changes your life. When God sovereignly breaks in on you in the midst of your day, when he breaks in on you in the midst of your trial, your difficulty. See, what we have to remember about Obed-Edom and Israel at that time is the ark had been in Kiriath-Jearim for years. They had lost it to the Philistines under Eli when they had temple prostitutes with the priest. I mean, they were in vile evil. They didn't honor the presence and the glory of the Lord. Where is our nation right now? I mean, to me, this looks like such a picture of where we are, that if we don't tend to the Ark of the Covenant and saturate places with his presence, our nation is in for major, major trouble. And I'm praying there's a whole bunch of crazy, radical, tend to the altar people like us. Because it's going to take more than one or two. But see, they finally were getting the Ark back. I believe we're in a place where we're finally getting the ark back. There's a stirring in the spirit over our territory, over our nation. I would say over Atlanta and over the state of Georgia, there is a stirring of the glory of God. I've not experienced in my years of walking anything like what we're experiencing right now in the presence. Would you agree? I look at Bradley because I know he's been fighting in this city longer than I have. And we've contended and we've pressed in and we've seen waves of refreshing. But we've not seen the refreshing take us into a river that keeps moving. We stayed in the place of refreshing where it's all about me and let me get blessed. And see, Obed-Edom could have stayed in his home, having enjoyed the presence of the Lord and had everything he owned be blessed. Because that's what the Word of God says, is that everything about Obed-Edom's home and family got blessed. See, a refreshing will bring you in a place of what you have and what concerns you being blessed. And American Christians like to have everything that we connect to be blessed. That's why we have people that say, I'm going to name and claim a Mercedes-Benz. Okay, I know I just stepped on some good old toes, but that's okay. But see, there's nothing wrong with having a Mercedes. Nothing wrong as long as it doesn't have you. That's exactly right. But when it's all about that, there's a problem. And see, Obed-Edom had a choice when David came back 3 months later. He could stay and remember what was. Church, we can stay and remember what was. And I believe God would even bless us to a degree if we stayed and remembered what was. But we would become an old wineskin. And it would go no further than where it has been. But do you know what Obed-Edom did? When David came back to get the Ark of the Covenant to take it up to Jerusalem, and you know they took, what is it, seven steps, and they would stop and they would sacrifice, and they would sing and they would dance and they celebrate and they would do it again, and they'd do it all over again. And that's not a short pathway. And it's uphill. I got to walk a piece of it. But see, they found out God's order for bringing the glory, not just into Jerusalem, but to Mount Zion. And Obed-Edom said, I'm ruined. I can't go back. I can't go back to practicing religion as it was. I can't go back to practicing, hear me, old covenant. Nobody but the high priest can go in once a year. Obed-Edom had the Ark of the Covenant in his living room without a veil. David had a revelation of the presence of God without a veil, but Obed-Edom, he lived it. And once you've tasted of the glory, you can't go back. I mean, can I ask you a question? Can you imagine going back and staying in a church that doesn't welcome the presence and the glory of God? That does three hymns, maybe two, and a prayer and moves on? I mean, if God sent you, you could go do it, but you'd be going to find a watering hole. I've been there, done that. It's all good. But see, Obed-Edom had been ruined. It was a game changer for him. He had tasted of the sweetness and the power and the glory of the Almighty. And Obed-Edom picked everything up and he went to Mount Zion. He became a gatekeeper, a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. I'd rather be a gatekeeper in the house of the Lord than 1,000 anywhere else. I mean, give me the presence of God, or God, just take me home. Because I don't want to do just religious stuff. I don't want to just go through the motions to say, well, I checked off, I went to church this week. I'll stay home, cook my husband pancakes or something. I mean, you know, really. Play with my grandbaby. There's glory in that, I'll just tell you. There's glory in that. But see, ark had to be moved to Jerusalem, and Obed-Edom had gotten a taste of the glory. And when the ark got to Jerusalem, got to the place of Mount Zion, and they began to worship 24/7, and worship was ascending and revelation was descending. Worship was ascending and revelation was descending. And they would go into that place with a scribe. And they would begin to scribe out what the revelation of the Lord was. And Bradley touched on this a couple weeks ago. And it was the release of the strategies to move us forward. You notice I'm saying us, not them. Because if we just look at this historically, we're just going to stay in the old system where we say, well, that's what God did, but God doesn't do that anymore. I'm here to tell you, God's doing it now. So as we get into the place of worship and the creative release of the prophetic song of the Lord like we had tonight, did you notice how the prophetic just got uncapped? Strategic key words were released tonight for us to know how to move forward. God gave us words tonight so that when the enemy throws up these roadblocks, and I guarantee you, there'll probably be some thrown at me, because he's going to keep trying to put a boulder on top of us. But now I got some words to go on. I got some strategy to go on. You've got some strategies to intercede so that as I go and meet with a lawyer or go meet with a judge or go meet with a landlord or go meet with a whosoever, you got strategies to pray so I'm not out there by myself. Glory to God. But see, out of Mount Zion comes the revelation to give us strategies to know how to advance. I don't know, as I got to have the power of the Holy Ghost to get it out of the way. Absolutely. Blast it. Yes, I am. I'm looking at a bunch of them right now. Y'all see? You're eagles. You've got eagle eyes. You've got that vision to see. You're going to see some things that I don't see. You need to hear me say that. You're going to see some things I don't see because you're looking from a different perspective. Yeah, you're right. I need it. But see, God is wanting us to get to a place where we have the Ark of the Covenant, not just simply at Obed-Edom's house, so we all get blessed. He wants the Ark of the Covenant in us and in us corporately to get to the place of Mount Zion, so we release the declarations and decrees over a territory that shifts the whole nation. Now, this Thursday, as it would be that God has us on this vein, we are inside the state capitol at 12 noon, inside, in the south wing, to release worship and declarations of the strategies of heaven, inside. 12 o'clock noon, Thursday, National Day of Prayer, inside. Ask the Lord, I do not know. Actually, you know what? When they would enter the temple, they would enter in through the south, wouldn't they? Yeah, through the south gate. It's the what gate? Money gate. Glory. I knew somebody would know. Thank you. Okay, so we're going in to release the finances of the Lord into our state. The wing, the south wing. We have a Native American that is going to be with us. She is, she's not full-blooded, but she's more Cherokee than not, I'll put it that way, is going to be with us. As she's been a major part of reconciliation movements in the state, and I felt like that's the first time we've been able to pull that off. It's really significant. So see, we're taking the presence and the glory of the Lord into the gate of government. Because this state is known as a governmental gate state. To cause the alignment of not just nation, but nations. That's the prophetic word that was released over the state in July of 2003. I know that I know that I know that I know that's our destiny. And there was a warning for us in 2007 that either we turned this state toward the Lord or Islam would take this state and take us in the other direction. Because, see, the prophetic destiny can either go in the place of redemption or go in the direction of the curse. Because the anointing is still resident. That's why somebody who has an anointing of worship and gets their attention focused on something other than Holy Spirit can carry that anointing into other styles of music, which is a form of worship, and be very successful. Releasing demonic decrees into the earth. And see, the enemy loves to capture that which is intended for God's kingdom and pervert it. So this is where I believe we are. We're in the place of carrying the ark of his presence. And in a couple of different ways to release the blessing of that. One, it is further establishing who we are. Let's give it away, but let's don't forget God's doing something with us too. I know that we are here to release glory and the purposes of God over Shambly Tucker Christian Fellowship and over this piece of property right here and to their outreaches. We're here to be a blessing, not a drain. They are charging us almost nothing. And Jennifer, don't you repeat this, but we're giving them more than they're asking. Because it's like ridiculous. Because I want to leave here with them knowing that we were a blessing to them, not a drain. In fact, you know what I'd love to do is when we're at the end of this thing to have enough that we give them a significant amount so they can finish that fellowship hall over there. I'm just telling you, that's what I'm dreaming. I'd love to be able to write them a check and say, finish that room. Finish it. See, God, that's not too big for God. I mean, what if I ask him to do that and say, okay, God, would you come in here and give them the money that they could finish and the repairs they wanted to do in this room on the roof? Because I know they had more they wanted to do in here. You know, I don't know how much he's going to allow us to, but I'm asking him. I'm asking him. So I know we're here to further establish us, to prepare the way for where we're going. We're here to be a blessing to this fellowship and to this property, this territory. And we're here to continue gaining strength for a corporate gathering, not just of Citygate, but in this territory. To go out and do the work of advancing his kingdom. I know we're supposed to go do more land stuff. We're supposed to get our feet on the land and pray and stake it. We went and staked the Capitol this week, by the way. We staked the Capitol and cast down Shebna in the spirit and called Eliakim into place. God, you establish it. But God's wanting us to do this. He's wanting us to move out. So he's going to begin to take us on strategic assignments into places that will bring the declarations of Mount Zion into a territory. He's also going to begin to send us with that anointing into other places. There's a group of us going to D.C. the end of May to participate with a gathering of warriors. Tanya's going. Sandra's going. She's coming back from Tennessee. Teresa's going. I'm going. But I know we're being sent from here to go in order to release what God is giving us in the midst of that group of people for a turning of this nation. There will be more things that come up. And we'll have to, in fact, what I just heard the Lord say, there's going to be more things coming up than what I'm sending you, so be discerning about what you go take. That was important, I mean, because that just... And we have to know who is to go on what, who's carrying the anointing for what. And I'm just going to tell y'all up front, this got me in trouble with another leader in the city once upon a time, but you know what? I learn, right? When God gives us an assignment, sometimes I'm going to say, I need you to stay at the altar and worship and pray. And I need you, and you to go out on the land, and I'll take you out on the land, or I'll send you out on the land. Here's my admonition. Do not get offended if you don't get the assignment that you want. Do not get offended if you don't get the assignment that you want. It's a good one. Because, see, it's all about bringing the presence and the glory of the King to bear in a territory so that his name is praised, people are set free, atmospheres are shifted, governments are shifted, school systems are shifted, businesses are shifted. And in the process, every step we take, we have to say, Holy Spirit, deal with my heart. We just got to. Because if we allow discouragement, anger, bitterness, disappointments, judgments, etc., to infect our heart, we can't do what he's called us to do. That's why right now I'm having to guard my heart against our landlord. I'm just telling you. Because there are some days it's been a little tough. He's just not saved, and you're right, although he claims to be. So God, touch him. Break that lying spirit off of him. Release the revelation of the love of God over him. And turn his heart from one of destruction into one of blessing. See, God's wanting to do something that's way beyond any of us. I just want us to do our part. Whatever that is, I want us to do our part. So, buckle up your seatbelts. We're in for a ride. And I believe we're going to be surprised at what we see, even by Pentecost. I just keep having that rise up in my spirit that by Pentecost, we'll see something shift. I don't know what that means. I don't know what we'll see, but I just know that by Pentecost, we'll see something. June 8th. That's not that long away. So come on, Lord. Jesus. Does anybody have any questions or anything for me? I knew we'd probably have a little bit of a... I want to get us set. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Religion stops the flow of the power of God. That's the truth. Yeah, it does. Yeah. Absolutely. And see, as we begin to release the declarations that we hear out of Mount Zion, that we hear from the Lord, when we release those, it empowers the angelic host to go do their work. They're waiting to hear the word of the Lord. They're waiting to hear the word of the Lord released through your mouth. We think God's just going to do this stuff, and he's saying, don't ask me to do something I've told you to do. We need to get a hold of that one. Because we keep asking God to do stuff. He said, I'm telling you, I just heard the Lord on this one. He said, repeat that. Quit asking me to do what I told you to do. We've got to shift this thing. Alexis? Yeah. Yep, that's good. We got to get our flesh out of the way, regardless of what it is. For some people, it's going to be an issue of food. For other people, it's going to be an issue of too much something else or too little something else. Mia. Yep, come here.
This is a little personal, but, what I'm about to share, I also was praying it out during our worship time because it's kind of in line with what was prophetically been said. I have a history here at this church. And it's my walk with the Lord was very dry in the beginning when I came to this church. And I stayed for 5 years at New Covenant. I publicly shared with them, putting a closure and saying a goodbye to the congregation here. And I think it was like, I can't remember, in the 90s. I can't remember what year, 98 or around 99. And what I shared with them, which is so prophetic of what we are saying in the worship, is I said to the body right there saying, you all brought me to life. And it was literally a breakthrough of my spiritual walk here. And so I prophetically also pray that what they have planted in me corporately, I also spoke it out in worship and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I speak that for this church, for this season of what you want to bring them out of. And it's so sweet. I mean, it's just this, the Lord is sharing that to me, and I just want to share that publicly for them. And it's so sweet.
Has anybody else got something?
Yeah, when Jackie said about Pentecost, and it reminded me that I listened to a talk by John Kilpatrick from when they had the revival. He's down in Mobile. And he did, God gave him a word, and I've got it on my phone, actually, about suddenlies. And he was saying that God is going to redefine his people for the next 100 days starting on March 1st. Okay? And it just really exploded in my spirit. But I went and counted up those 100 days. Those 100 days finish on Pentecost.
I had forgotten that. Anybody else? Well, if you got... come here. You always think it's strange, and we always know it's good, so...
I heard the Lord say, and I would like to say it over you, too. I mean, he was telling me this, and that it just amazed me. He said, the Lord said to me... and this is for you guys. You are a blessing on this earth to me every day you are here. And I said back to him, Lord, that amazes me. But we are a blessing to him every day that we're on this earth. So as you walk forth, be a blessing. And the other one was a scripture that he had me to meditate on for about 3 or 4 years. And I kept asking for another one to memorize, you know how you get. And it was, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Now, we've had a lot of revelation tonight that we can grab hold of and we can walk in and we can war with, right? But then, okay, that was for 3 years. I had that one scripture. So this morning he said, okay, that's 9 and 10 of Psalms 36. That's 9 of Psalms 36. You go to the next scripture of that is 10. Okay, the first one is, for with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light, which we know is Jesus. Revelation. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you. Do you know the Lord? And your righteousness to the upright in heart. Now, we were listening to the heartbeat of the Lord tonight, but he was listening to our heartbeat too. So as our heart beats in the rhythm of the Lord and we flow in the anointing of what God has for us, this city's going to be changed. It's changing already, but it's going to be changed.
Amen.
Thinking about the Ark of the Covenant, what this signifies to all of us, I don't know how to really put it into words. I hope that comes out the right way. But when God gave the vision and the passion for City Gate to Jackie, it began her primary putting a lot of the effort and so forth. So out of her, a group came out. Out of that group, another group came out. For the last how many years, Jackie and a small group, I'm not talking just the leadership, don't take me that. This is not about the leadership. This is people even before the leadership. As in the past, have been Jackie pretty much a small group carrying the load. But what represents tonight is that now it's no longer Jackie and the small group of people carrying the ark. God is going to teach all of us. He's bringing us together as in unity, as warriors. I start thinking, okay, God gave the instruction to how to build the ark. I'm quite sure that there were some difficulty first, because you know you had to carry the ark on the pole. So there's some synchronization that has to happen with the people that carrying the ark. So I believe there's going to be some synchronization with the leaders, but as the body. Because now the pole has been extended to you. Okay? The pole has been extended to you. So it's going to take a little bit of synchronization to be able to walk and carry. Whenever God said to the right, there's some synchronization that has to happen. But what God is doing is he has given you the passion already. So he's increasing the DNA that he already had put on you. So the strength of the DNA is increasing, and those minor that is not a strength, it's going to be decreasing. Because your weakness is going to be your partner's strength. Okay? So you're going to learn to not concentrate on the weakness, because you know that your weakness are going to be covered by your strength in your right side of the left side. So as we come in together, there's a unity in the spirit that is happening even now, that as we began day by day worshiping this place, battling in the spirit for what is happening now and for what will happen in the future, because the enemy won't let go until his coming, his presence is fully manifested, until we'll take dominion of Atlanta. So as we move forward, lean on each other, hear each other, but also communicate each other the blessings and the purposes that God has given to all of us, but to you individual.
I do want you to know that we will be here Tuesday night to worship and to pray, as we got to keep the main thing the main thing. Amen. So we will be here Tuesday night. And then any of you who are available on Thursday down at the Capitol at noon, I would love for you to come down and just join us. I haven't, because of everything that has gone on, I haven't done a whole lot of promotion. I haven't had the bandwidth. That's my phrase right now. It's just, it's like, so come down and support if you're free. I know a lot of you are on your jobs and you can't. So pray for us wherever you are, but if you are free, come down. And then we'll be back here next Sunday evening. And just stay connected with each other. And one of the things that I was concerned about in moving out was that it would be very easy for us to scatter and to not remain connected. So I'm encouraging you to reach out to one another. Don't depend on me to do it. It ain't going to happen. I'll try. But, I mean, I'm just giving you, especially with everything going on right now. But reach out to each other. Invite people to come. I know we're a little bit out of the ordinary box, but I think there's a whole lot of people in this city for looking for the out of the ordinary box. And they won't know if we're here if we don't tell them. So get over it and start telling some people, okay? Find those that want to be a part of something and invite them. I'm not going to slow down just because we're in temporary housing. I don't know what that's going to look like. I've got to talk to their leadership a little bit more. Do we do a weekend? I think we probably could pull it off and have somebody come in again. We haven't, I'm not looking to do it just to do it, but I know that's a part of the mantle that's on us. And if I let it go, I'm not being who I'm called to be, and you're not being who you're called to be. So just pray for us to know how to walk through this, because it's the unknown time frame. We really don't know. I'm believing I'm going to know something by Pentecost. And then we'll see where he takes us from there. But I just want you to know how much I love you. I have felt your support for these last couple of weeks. And having to drop the bombshell that I did last Sunday night and have your support the way you have given it has blessed me beyond measure. It's given me a strength to walk through some pretty dark days. And a phrase the Lord gave me this week was, be sure you keep finding your song in the night. Keep finding your song in the night. So wherever you are, find your song in the day, but also find your song in the night. Let me pray for you, and Yes, please, ma'am.
There's such an anointing for giving. I can't get past it. God is so intent on blessing us so far beyond what we could ask or think. And this is the moment. Someone said it, and we've not tapped into it the way God has said it. We can't dismiss that moment. I don't usually have checks with me. I rarely ever have checks. And I think I had 3 in my purse. This is my second one tonight. I have to give. That heaviness is on me to give. So I am going to ask you. I don't know why, but I know what you give, God gives back. But we owe God something from the old to say thank you. Thank you for what you did. Our lives were changed in the old. And thank you for what you're going to do. already. We thank you for the new place. We thank you for the strangers walking through the door. We thank you, Father, that you have given us more than we need to provide a place for this church, this house, Father. And we want to give. We are a people who love to give. So I'm going to challenge you to think again. Look again before you leave this place tonight. Get in on what God is doing. The anointing to give and to receive is heavy here tonight.
Father, I just, in the name of Jesus, release a blessing of great grace over each and every one. That there is great grace to be and to do all that you created them for. There's grace for healing. There's grace for deliverance. There's grace for breakthrough. There's grace for new jobs. There's grace for new opportunities. There's grace for healing and restoration of things lost, stolen, and even given away. And I declare over you as a people that you are a people of breakthrough. You are a people of breakthrough, and you're breaking into a new territory. New relationships, new territory, new opportunities. Watch for the suddenlies. Watch for the suddenlies. Watch for the suddenlies. Watch for the suddenlies. For the Lord's breaking in suddenly upon you. Love on somebody. Do what the Lord says. Yes. One more. Got it. The prophetic river is open. I love it.
When Jackie and the team came back from the revival, and you all prayed for everybody, well, I had had trouble. I had had some trouble on my left side here, and my leg always gave me trouble. And I guess that's been ever since 2007 or 6. And Jackie prayed for me. And Teresa, they laid hands on me and prayed. And God healed me. Not had the pain since then. And the awesome thing is that the fire of God has been burning inside of me since that night. And I nurtured it. I don't know whether Bradley said it or what, but him or Jackie one said about we, the people are the scepter. And I took it up on, I grabbed that word because I never heard it spoken like that. And I said, God, what are you, explain to me. He said, I can show you better. So doors start open to me for me to go and minister in Dublin, Georgia. And I got a chance to meet with pastors, little old me, to meet with pastors that's preparing to buy buildings cost $2 million, asking for wisdom and instruction in which way to go. God started unlocking dreams. And it's just like, they said, where do you go to church? I kept saying City Gate, Atlanta. They said, we want to come. That's cool. That's a wild name. City Gate, Atlanta. They said, what is this? And I started telling them about the apostolic anointing. And I told them, I said, I've never been in anything like this in my life. And I said, I get in there, and the Lord starts showing me there's all kind of things I start seeing in heaven because of the anointing, on an apostolic anointing here. And it's just like the fire of God. The revival. It's. I'm telling you, do not shrink back. The fire of God is on our life now. And there's things that we have desired and things that we want for our city, our family. I'm telling you, God is doing so much in my life and in my family just because the revival breaking loose. I'm telling you, I wanted to. Jackie sends out this email and tell people to watch the revival down there. And so what I do... I love it. And so all this here is coming. The Lord, I was going to place, I looked at this revival where they were that weekend. I'm looking at the revival, and then I was getting ready to put a seed. I was ready to put a seed. And the Lord said, no, wait till Sunday night in City Gate and plant that seed. And so I planted that seed in every sense. I mean, I'm telling you, financial breakthrough has been happening. And the Lord said, there's an anointing in this, what's going on. And he's multiplying and manifesting himself and the wisdom of God upon this body here. So don't shrink back. I mean, go forward. If you think you can't do it, do it. Do it. Just do it. It's awesome. I'm telling you, it is absolutely awesome.
See, the key is she started up. So if you haven't been stirring up the fire that's in you this week, stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up. Ask God, how do I stir it up? But you stir it up because he gave it to us. So love on somebody. We'll see you Tuesday night. Love you.